Let's pray together.
Almighty God, we are so thankful that you have given us your word. And we ask now that as we open your word, that you would speak. We invite you by the power of your Holy Spirit to be the light that shines on the word and causes the word to shine into us. We ask, Lord, that we'd be transformed by your word, empowered by your spirit, enabled to both receive you, receive the gift of salvation and place our trust in you, then also, Lord, be the agents you want us to be in the world around us. We pray this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Tag, you are it. A simple game, but a profound truth for you and for me as you think about this. I was thinking about how to preach a Mother's Day sermon. Well, I think of mothers as being tagged by the Lord Jesus Christ to be dispensers of the love of Christ into their family and into their community. And so many of you have done such a wonderful job of sharing the love of Christ into your family and into your community. And we thank you for the ministry that you have had. We give God the glory and thanks to you. And we invite each and every one of us to continue that ministry of receiving the light, sharing the light. But notice some of these important truths. First of all, from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 9. Our Old Testament reading, Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 9. It reads, "Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring your homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and the speaking of wickedness." Notice there's all these promises, and they're hinged on this amazing truth that as we live the way Christ wants us to live, then there's blessing that flows. And as we receive the blessing, we're enabled to live the way he wants us to live. It's this both you receive and you give, and you give and you receive. It goes back and forth. We are fully dependent on God being the initiator. And as he initiates in us, we're responding. And as we're responding, we're opening ourselves up to receive even more. He's talking about fasting. Now, fasting is that practice of withholding from ourselves the intake of food and sometimes even water. It's a sacrifice that we make in order to try to have a increased ability to focus on the Lord. Now, fasting is a great thing, but he's saying to us, there are good fasts and there are bad fasts. I heard about a meme that said, if you're fasting but still gossiping, you might as well go ahead and eat. Why? Because the fasting should result in more righteousness, not in more continuation of the sinful patterns of sin that we're so plagued with and so prone to. No, our fasting should be not just saying, I'm not going to eat. We should be saying, I want to encounter you, God, and I'm willing to let go of anything contrary to your will or anything that distracts me from your will. So in this text, he's saying, fasting that I want is a type of fasting that blesses people, that loosens the bonds of wickedness, undoes the straps of the heavy yokes that are oppressing people, that enables people to be fed and clothed and housed. That's the type of fasting God is asking for. And how does that happen? It happens when God does a work in us that then enables us to let God flow through us to the people around us. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn. God is the light. And when we live the way God wants us to live and pursue Him with all of our heart and try to turn away from the distractions of the world and the flesh and the devil, then we're opening ourselves up to receiving and understanding and perceiving the goodness of God. It's as if His light is breaking forth upon us like the dawn of a new day. Not just that, he goes on to say, then the supernatural starts happening speedily. It says your healing shall spring up speedily. The thing you so desperately need in your body or in the depth of your soul where there's wounds comes as you open yourselves up to God and yield yourself to God. And then your righteousness, your right behavior shall start flowing out of that, shall go before you, and then you'll even experience it to a greater and greater degree, the glory of the Lord. Actually, being like a protection around you. And God saying, here I am. Here I am. There's communication that happens. So we're invited to receive from God the light and then share that with the people around us. And isn't that what Jesus himself said in our New Testament reading from Matthew chapter 5? It's right after the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus says, blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who are persecuted, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you. Rejoice in the Lord, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then this amazing paragraph, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. After all those statements of what brings blessing, and some of those things that seem to be kind of negative, the poor, the persecuted, the naked, the hungry, he goes on to say, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. And in verse 14, you are the light of the world. Going back to read it in its entirety here, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Salt and light. It's fascinating to listen to different teachers and different pastors as they expand upon this. There's all sorts of messages that have been based upon this little text. And salt is a multi-purpose element. We recognize that, or a compound. But what's Jesus focusing in on in this text? You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, or one translation, its flavor, how shall its saltiness be restored? What's Jesus focusing on? Not its ability to preserve meat, although that's certainly true. Not its ability to resist the approaching of pests around a plant, although that's true. Not used as a instrument or an article of trade, because that was sometimes true of salt. All those are points I've heard in different teachings and messages. But what does Jesus focus on? Not those secondary things, which might have some validity to them. But the point of this text that Jesus said is that salt is to bring taste. And if it's lost its taste, it's useless. Salt brings out the flavor of food. I imagine that most of you, if not on your table, nearby your table, have a salt and a pepper dispenser. Pepper kind of changes the flavor of something. Salt enhances the flavor of the food that is placed upon. Salt, so often used in our culture and around the world, many parts of the world, as a flavor enhancer. And Jesus says, you are the salt. Is he really saying to you, you are a flavor enhancer? Is he saying to you and to me and to us together that you're on this planet to bring me glory by creating within people a greater ability to appreciate, to sense the very goodness of God, the flavor of God? I think that you are on this earth, you are in this community, so that people who are wandering around kind of blah and bland and flavorless suddenly have a picture, an image, an example of someone that's full of flavor. Good flavor. The flavor that causes people to go, I'd like some of that. They seem to be savoring their food. They seem to be reveling in life. They seem to be getting through even the hard times in a successful way with joy on their face, a smile on their face. There's something about the flavor of that person that intrigues me, attracts me, that I want. As we are the salt of the earth, we are causing people to desire the one who makes us salty, the one who gives us flavor, the one who makes us like himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I think you are in this environment to bring flavor. Now, it's true that right now, right here, the salt crystals are kind of close together. It'd be as if you screwed the lid off the salt dispenser and poured the whole thing out in one pile. That might be a little too concentrated to really enhance the enjoyment of the meal. You want to kind of spread it out. And so that's what I'm encouraging you to do in an hour or so. We're going to dispense each other, disperse from each other. We're going to spread out, and we're going to be a little flavor in the different parts of the community that we interact with, where we go to work, where we go shopping, where we do business, as we're in our neighborhoods. We're going to spread ourselves out. Salt works by contact. Too much salt on one little piece of food, and that becomes almost overbearing. We can't take it, but a little salt in contact enhances flavor, and that's your role. So I want you to be praying as we even continue now. And then as you go on out of here, and as you're shaken and spread and dispersed, that you're thinking, how can I be the flavor of God in this environment, in this room, in this situation, with these people? Jesus himself said, I'm the salt of the earth. Pray and say, Lord Jesus, how do I be that way? Now, I know the analogy gets into a little trouble when we know that some people talk about people who are salty as a negative thing. We want to be righteously full of the salt of Jesus in our community, bringing the flavor of Jesus into our community. What's this mean? It's a simple phrase, and it's the title in the bulletin. We're blessed to be a blessing. Jesus blesses us so that we can be a blessing. Whether we're a mother, a father, a student, we're receiving so we can give. One of the ways that's being illustrated here is that we're salt, called to come in contact with the people around us. But Jesus doesn't use just that analogy. In verse 14, he switches to the analogy of light. You are the light of the world. Then notice he says that he uses that analogy in two different dimensions, two different degrees. The first one, he says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. So he's talking about a glowing city. When do you notice the glowing lights of a city? Usually not during the day. You notice the glowing lights of a city at night. I think the imagery that Jesus is getting to here is that there are people going through dark times. There are people traveling through difficulties. There are people experiencing things that are hard, that are heartaches. And they're scared. They're wondering if they're going to make it. And all of a sudden, they come over a rise and they see the light of a city. And they say, oh, there's protection there. There's hope there. There's other people I can be around there. I won't be left out here in the wilderness to fend by myself. I could get there. It's within eyesight now. Corporately, we are the light of the world. There's community that's being talked about here. A city is a group of people that are living together, doing life together, and they're doing so in a way that they're pursuing God, and the light of God has been received by them, and now that light of God is glowing and flowing and impacting the surroundings so that people see it. I believe that people can be drawn to a community of faith, especially at night, especially when they're going through hardships. See, I think that God wants us to be as aware of the hurts as He is. I think God wants to make us perceive the difficulties that people are in the midst of, so we can be light to them, dispense hope to them. Oh, I know how easy it is to get distracted, to get a one compartment in our brain to be the only one that's having any attention given to it. I got to stay in that compartment until that one task is done and I'm oblivious to everything else around me. But God is inviting us to look around. As we're enjoying Him, as we're living in community with one another, as we're a city on a hill enjoying His light, He invites us to let our light shine. And maybe even look out and see, is there anybody in the darkness that's getting close? Do I need to leave the door open and the light on so they can get to my Motel 6 that evening? See, I think this community needs us. I think God put us here so we could minister to our community. There are people going through hardships, and we're here on assignment by God to be a city on a hill, gleaming as a beacon of hope and light to them. What are the needs that you're aware of? Is there somebody that's just had a house fire that needs neighbors and friends and communities of faith to reach out to them? Is there somebody that's going through a health issue and they're not able to really care for themselves and they don't have the resources that we could help with a simple visit, a simple bringing over of a restaurant gift card or something? Is there something we can do to let people know they're not forgotten, they're not on their own? There's a community of light that wants to share the light of Jesus with them. Practical ways of being light. People in darkness. But notice how Jesus makes the analogy much smaller. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Now, the time that this was said and recorded, it was long before electricity. It was more like what's behind me here, these oil-filled containers with a wick dipped in the oil and a flame up on top. An oil-burning light, an oil-burning lamp. And it wasn't 1,000 lumens coming out of your new flashlight. It was a soft glow. And in order for that soft glow to have an impact, people needed to be close. So the analogy here is a very tight analogy. It's in a house, probably a one-room house, where people are there and that one little flame gives off light and attracts and gives hope and gives a ability to see and perceive. I think not only are we called to be a city on a hill, a community of faith that says to the community, we're here, we're shining for Jesus, but we're now called to take our light right into the very inner parts of the home and set our little light on a little tabletop or a little stand and say, I'm here. I'm here in the midst of this dark room you're stuck in right now. I'm here with you in the midst of this heartache, in the midst of this thing you're trying to find your way out of. I'm here with you. There's an intimacy involved in the second half of this analogy. And we are called to be that kind of light. The light that goes into the darkness. Not just stays on the hill and shines, but a light that travels. A light that knocks on doors. A light that goes on inside and says, in this room, the light has come. In this room where you were hopeless, there's now a glow. In this environment where the hurts of your heart were overwhelming you, now there is the presence of the very light of Jesus to give you a fresh sense of optimism that there is a way out. You can now see what you could not see before. So we don't hide our light. We don't keep our light at home. We don't hide it under a basket. We go to the places of darkness. We let our light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Notice it didn't say here. I was talking with some people about our services being put on cable television. And they also go out on the radio. And people could hear what we do here each week. And I think that does have some value, and I appreciate that we are able to do that. But I am fully aware that what I say in this environment is not nearly as powerful as what you do when you take the light into that dark room. I think you could have a much more profound community-wide impact as you take your little candle and you walk into that place so that people can see your good works. Not just hear a sermon. Not just hear us singing. But see with their eyes your tangible efforts. You're handing them a basket of food. You're handing them a gift card to a restaurant. You're helping them fix a door or build a ramp so they can get in and out after they have been in some way unable to walk and now need to roll. You doing the work of God so they can see the work of God becomes then an opportunity for them to open up to the presence of God and then eventually give glory to God. They got to see it to get to the glory. So that's my prayer for us. What can we do that people will see? What can we do that people will see? How can we be the hands of Jesus? How can we be the dispensers of the light of Jesus? How can we be this light that goes into the dark places? You and I are called to be that kind of light. The kind of light that gets in. That brings enjoyment, that brings knowledge, that brings safety, yes, but goes right into the dark spots, the dark places, from the hilltop down into the living room, and to shine the light so that people might see the very works of God and give glory to God. Let's pray. Almighty, everlasting, eternal, omnipresent, everywhere present, present here, God. We are so amazingly grateful for your saving work. Thank you for shining the light so that we could see your glory and respond to you in faith. And now thank you for this game of tag that you've played of tapping us on the shoulder and saying, now we're it. We're the light to the world. We know we're just really receivers and then reflectors of your glory, but Lord, we're commissioned by you to carry it. And so help us see the opportunities, take the opportunities to carry your light, to share it with our loved ones, in our own homes, and then in the homes, the houses, the community around us. We've received so we can be a blessing. We received your light so we can pass it on. Open our eyes to your light and open our eyes to the needs in the darkness. Use us to be both salt and light in our community, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen.